This is Radio Hangar. I'm Tower, and if you fly anything with a propeller, a rotor, or a set of ducted fans, there's a piece of news out of the advanced air mobility world this week that you're going to want to understand. Not the hype version, the pilot version. You're listening to ATIS. Let's get into it. Archer Aviation has pulled the cover off a new aircraft. They're calling it Halo. It's an autonomous vertical takeoff and landing design. And here's the detail that made me sit up. Halo shares its airframe and its hybrid electric powertrain with a defense aircraft called Thunder, built by a company named Anduril. Same bones, same power. Two very different missions. That reporting comes from AVWeb, and we're going to walk through what it actually means for you, the person holding a pilot certificate. But first, a quick word about who keeps the lights on here. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. All right, here's what you need to know. For the last few years, the advanced air mobility conversation, and you'll hear that shortened to AAM, has been dominated by a simple picture: electric air taxis, quiet fans, a pilot up front carrying four passengers across a city. Archer has been one of the leading names in that race with an aircraft called Midnight. Joby has its tilt rotor. There's a whole field of companies betting that the short hop across a congested metro area is the market that finally makes electric flight pay. Halo is a different animal. The headline word is autonomous. No pilot on board. Archer is positioning Halo as an aircraft that flies itself, and the design was built from the ground up around that idea rather than bolting automation onto a machine that assumed a human in the seat. Now here's where it gets interesting, and this is the part the headline doesn't quite capture on its own. Halo isn't a clean sheet science project. It shares its airframe and hybrid electric powertrain with Thunder, the defense variant developed with Anduril. Anduril is a defense technology company. Thunder is aimed at military missions. Halo takes that same physical platform and that same propulsion system and points it at commercial work. Why does that matter? Because sharing an airframe and a powertrain across a defense program and a commercial program is a strategy, not a coincidence. When one platform serves two customers, the engineering cost gets spread across both. The flight testing gets spread across both, and critically, the defense side often has funding and urgency that the commercial side on its own does not. Let me put a flag on the table right now. Part of what I'm about to say is my read on the industry, and I'll tell you clearly when I'm giving you opinion versus fact. The fact is the shared platform. The interpretation is why a company would do it. Keep those separate in your head. I tried to. So let's talk about the hybrid electric piece, because this is where Halo diverges from the story you've been told about electric air taxis, and it's the part that a working pilot should actually pay attention to. Pure battery electric aircraft have a hard ceiling, and that ceiling is energy density. Batteries are heavy for the amount of energy they store. That's the whole game. It's why the electric trainers and the electric air taxis you've read about tend to have short legs. Enough for a lap of the pattern, enough for a city hop, but not enough for range with reserves the way you'd plan a real cross-country. Hybrid electric changes that math. You carry a fuel-burning power source, a generator essentially, that keeps the electrons flowing. The electric motors still turn the fans or the rotors, so you keep the simplicity and the responsiveness of electric propulsion at the point of thrust. But your energy is stored as fuel, which is far lighter per unit of energy than a battery. More range, more endurance, more useful load. For a defense mission, that's obvious. You want to loiter. You want to go far. You want to carry something meaningful and come home. For a commercial autonomous mission, the same advantages show up as cargo runs, longer routes, and operations that don't strand you at the edge of a battery's range. This affects you if you fly in a regional airspace system that's about to get more crowded with aircraft that stay up longer and range farther than the first generation of electric machines everyone was picturing. Let's slow down on that word autonomous, because I know some of you tightened your grip on the yoke when I said it. An autonomous aircraft with no pilot on board is not a new idea. The military has flown uncrewed aircraft for decades. What's new is the ambition to operate them in the same national airspace system where you and I fly, in the same sky as the Cessna 172 on a Sunday morning, near the same airports, under the same Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, that certificates your aircraft and rates your skills. And that's the real story for the general aviation pilot, not the airframe, the integration. Because here is the honest situation. The technology to build these aircraft is moving faster than the rulebook that governs how they share the sky with you. Certifying an aircraft to fly is one problem. Certifying it to fly itself without a human aboard to see and avoid is a much larger problem. The see and avoid principle is baked into how we fly under visual flight rules. You look out the window, you keep your head on a swivel, you maintain separation with your own eyeballs. An autonomous aircraft has to replace that human function with sensors and software that the FAA is willing to sign off on. Detect and avoid, they call it on the uncrewed side. And the standards for that are still being written. So what should you actually do with this news? Because I promised you the pilot version, and the pilot version always ends with what it means for the person listening. First, understand that the airspace you fly in is going to change, and it's going to change in your flying lifetime. The aircraft in this new class are real. They're funded, they're being unveiled, not just sketched. Halo joins Midnight, joins Joby's Tilt Rotor, joins a growing field. When these machines start operating at scale, the traffic picture around metro areas and certain corridors is going to look different than it does today. Second, watch the regulatory track, not just the shiny reveals. The reveal gets the headline. The rulemaking decides what actually happens in your airspace. Pay attention when the FAA publishes anything on powered lift operations, on detect and avoid standards, on how uncrewed and crewed traffic will be separated. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, AOPA, and the Experimental Aircraft Association, EAA, both track this closely and both advocate for general aviation's seat at that table. That's worth something. When the rules for this new class of aircraft get written, you want somebody in the room making sure the little airplane doesn't get squeezed out of the sky it's flown in for 100 years. Third, and this is just situational awareness, powered lift is now its own certification category. The FAA established that it's the first genuinely new aircraft category in decades, sitting alongside airplane, rotorcraft, and the rest. That category is the legal home for these tilt fan and vertical lift machines. Knowing the category exists tells you the FAA is treating this as a permanent part of the landscape, not a passing fad. When the regulator builds a whole new room in the house, the guest is planning to stay. Now, let me give you my honest opinion, flagged as opinion on the defense connection, because I think it's the most underappreciated part of this whole story. When a commercial air mobility program shares a platform with a defense program, the commercial side gets something it desperately needs: patience and money. The electric air taxi business has burned through enormous amounts of capital chasing a passenger market that keeps sliding to the right on the calendar. Certification is slow, infrastructure is slow, public acceptance is slow. A lot of these companies have been in a race against their own bank accounts. A defense variant riding on the same airframe can change that equation. Defense contracts can fund the hard engineering, the autonomy work, the powertrain work, the flight testing, and that work carries over to the commercial aircraft, because it's literally the same airframe and the same powertrain. It's a hedge. It gives the program a reason to exist, even if the commercial timeline stretches out. That's my read. Take it as one pilot's analysis, not gospel. But when you see a commercial and a defense aircraft sharing bones, ask who's really paying for the development, and you'll usually understand the business better than the press release wants you to. Here's the part I want to be careful about, because I don't do sensational, and I don't do fear. None of this means your kind of flying is going away. It doesn't. The uncrewed cargo run and the autonomous air taxi are not coming for your tailwheel endorsement or your Sunday breakfast flight to the field with the good pancakes. Those two worlds can coexist. They already do in limited ways. What changes is that the sky gets busier and more automated, and the pilot who understands what's flying around out there is the pilot who stays ahead of it. The headline doesn't tell the whole story. The headline says, Archer unveiled an autonomous VTOL. The story is that a commercial aircraft and a defense aircraft now share an airframe and a hybrid electric powertrain. That hybrid propulsion is quietly solving the range problem that held pure electric flight back, and that the rules for how all of this shares your airspace are being written right now while most pilots aren't watching. So watch, that's the assignment. Not with anxiety, with the same situational awareness you bring into the cockpit every time you fly. Know what's out there. Know what's changing. Keep your head on a swivel on the ground and in the air. Let me leave you with one thought before I clear you off frequency. Every generation of pilots has watched something new arrive in the sky and wondered what it meant for them. The jet age, glass cockpits, GPS direct where there used to be airways and a whiskey compass. The people who thrived through each of those shifts weren't the ones who ignored the change and weren't the ones who panicked about it. They were the ones who learned it, understood it, and kept flying. This is just the next one. My thanks to AV Web for the reporting on Archer's Halo and the shared platform with Anduril's Thunder. You can always find us at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Keep your eyes outside, and I'll see you on the next one.